wait long enough, old stuff becomes new because people forget about the old stuff, right? When I was growing up, we did these candles. We did the Advent candle. And I know it's not, people, we don't really do it anymore, but I love it. I love it. 4 weeks before Christmas, hope, love, joy, peace, and all anticipation of Jesus. And so this week is our first week, and we talk about hope. So I will light the hope candle. And next week, we'll add a candle. And the week after that, we'll add another candle. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll light the Christ candle. And we'll finally, Jesus will be here. That type of thing, right? I'm so glad that you're with us today. So glad. This truly is my favorite time of year, as I think most people would agree. Thank you, Abby, for that song. That was the kind of Heather and I's go-to song with, well, you know, Elijah's in the NICU. So that was a tough song to listen to over and over and over again, but it was so true. It's so true. It is well. It is well. No matter what, is well. It's well with my soul. And it was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the baby. But we thank you for the baby king. And we anticipate his arrival again, this time not as a baby, but as a conquering king. And we know that you rule, and that you you win. We know that you win. And Father, all the pain and suffering and all the garbage that we have to go through in this world, you endured it all. You did. You endured it all. And you are coming back for us to rescue us. May we be about ushering you in, your kingdom in here on earth until then. It's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Does it feel like Christmas time to you? I mean, it's 60 degrees out. It's kind of hard, right? I hear next week it's going to be like really cold. Maybe we'll feel like Christmas then, right? But does it feel like the most wonderful time of the year? Are the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you to be of good cheer? Is it the most wonderful time of the year? Is there much mistletoeing? Are your hearts glowing? Are your loved ones near? Is it the most wonderful time of the year? Maybe, or maybe not, right? Like, it just snuck up on me. It's December. What the heck? What happened? I don't know. I know maybe after it gets cold, maybe after it gets snowy, maybe after I finally get my Christmas tree up. But for a lot of us, maybe it doesn't feel right yet. And perhaps we're doing it wrong, right? I don't know about you, but I'm having a hard time focusing this year. Perhaps we're doing it wrong. Maybe it's just because we're just now getting rolling in December, and as the time bears on, we'll get there, right? Maybe everything has happened in the last year. Maybe it's just too much, and maybe I'm not ever going to get into the Christmas spirit, right? I don't know, but it's hard for me to focus. Perhaps I'm doing it wrong. It seems to be the mantra of all the preachers I see and hear now, is everybody telling you how you're doing Christmas wrong, right? Like, no, that's not right. You're not focusing on the right thing. You're not doing the right things. You're buying presents. How dare you? You know, I don't know. I like buying presents. I think it's pretty good. I like giving things to my daughter and seeing her open them. And obviously, preachers aren't saying that presents are bad. I'm just tired of everyone telling me I'm not doing it right. It's not about gifts. It's not about traditions. It's all about a baby, right? Got it, preach. I heard that a million times. My goal today is not to tell you about how you are doing it wrong. Actually, there are two things I want us to talk about today. And the one thing is waiting, and the other one is hope. That's what I want to talk about. Today starts the beginning of the Advent season, Advent or Adventus, which is a Latin word. It means the coming or the arrival. Here it is referring to the arrival of a Savior, Jesus. As I told you before, this event was a big, big deal. The Jewish people were waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah. It meant everything. This Messiah would free God's people. This Messiah would end all oppression and slavery. This Savior would come to set the world right for God's people. The Old Testament is full of these predictions over and over and over again in the Old Testament. The Old Testament pointed to a rescuer, a Messiah, whom God would send to rescue His chosen people. It started in Genesis and echoed throughout the entire Bible. For the next 4 weeks, we are going to look at the idea of the Advent leading up to Christmas. The people of the Old Testament waited thousands of years for their Messiah. And we're going to spend 4 weeks waiting for our baby king. Today, we're going to look at the book of Isaiah. Turn with me, if you would, to chapter 9. If you are using a blue pew Bible, one of the new ones from last week in front of you, you can turn to page 572, or it'll be on the screen. Follow along with me as I read verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Peace, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is a prophecy, Isaiah. He was a prophet. And when it came to prophecies, there is a hope that we should all have. And the prophecy of God that we should have a different kind of hope. One that's not like, I hope I get this for Christmas, but I don't know if anybody got it for me, right? That's not the type of hope we're talking about. A few years ago, I would have called it Cardinal Hope and Cub Hope, right? I mean, they ruined that because the Cubs won the World Series, but before that, I was good, right? Hope like, man, I really hope the Cubs win the World Series someday, right? But it had been 108 years. And there was no end in sight, right? And you're like, well, I really hope it happens. Or you can be like Cardinal Hope, which is like, by every 5 years we're going to win one, right? We know it's coming. We just don't know when exactly, right? Is that right, Tim? All right. You know, being Cardinal fan has been nice, except the last couple of years. But you know, that's the thing. We're going to win one. We've got 11, right? We've got 11 of them. We're going to win one eventually. It's just a matter of time. And the Cubs have won, you know. So it's like, oh, well, maybe we will. But it's that kind of hope. It's the Cardinal kind of hope where it's like, I know that this is going to happen. And so when you look at a prophecy, I want you to think about that. No, I don't want you to think about the Cubs and Cardinals every time you think about prophecy. But I want you to think about that idea that, you know what, this is going to happen because God said it. God promised it. And when God promises something, He always, always, always comes through. He's faithful every single time. We don't know when. We don't know how. But it's going to happen. Does that make sense? You ever hope for something? Not like, oh man, I hope for world peace one day. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But really, really hope for something. Obviously, Team Song just came through a period of hoping. Hoping that Elijah would make it. Hoping he would live. Hoping that he would breathe on his own. That he would eat on his own. That someday we would get him out of the hospital. And that he'd get to come home. Like we hoped and hoped and hoped and hoped all those things. We didn't know they were going to happen. God never promised us that those things were going to happen. But we really hoped that that would happen. And God, in his immense amount of grace, has blessed us. And we are here. We're home. All of us together. And Elijah kept, I think he woke up every 10 minutes last night and drove me nuts. But you know, I'll take it. I'll take it every single time. Because he's here. He's with us. So there's that kind of hope. And then there's another kind of hope. I remember when I was young, my parents are here today. My dad, the ninja, I talked about last week. I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I really wanted a Nintendo Entertainment video game system. You know, the old school Nintendo Entertainment System. Like, that was my dream. Every time anybody asked me, like for 6 months, people were like, whoa, what do you want for Christmas year? I want a Nintendo Entertainment System. Here's an ad. You know, like, you want a Xerox copy? You know, like, that was, I really, really wanted it. It was older. We weren't, like, the richest people in the world growing up, so I was like, it's cheap enough now that I might be able to get one. And I remember every time I talked to my parents, that's what I want, that's what I want. My parents were like, well, that may be all you get for Christmas if you saw something that expensive. I was like, I don't care. I want it. And my parents are like me in that they're not really good at, like, keeping secrets, you know? Like, you can, like, they give things away immediately just by walking in the room. You're like, oh, yeah, I know what's going on. You know, that's how I am. Like, I am terrible. I have no poker face. And so I kind of thought that my parents bought it, right? I did one of those things where I kind of read the room, and I'm like, yeah, I think they got it for me. I think I'm in the clear. And so I remember I went around snooping. Well, they weren't going there. And I found it. And I was like, yeah. And then, like, I did this really weird. My sister's here in town, but she's with the baby. I made my sister come with me and I find one of her presents, too. Like, she didn't want to do that, but I kind of made her. Just because I was like, man, if two of us find our presence, then maybe I won't be as bad. I don't know, but that was a horrible thing that I did. But it's that type of hope. I knew my parents got it for me. I knew that this present was waiting for me. I knew that there was a day that was coming that I was going to get my beloved Nintendo Entertainment System. I knew it was coming. That's the type of hope that we have. That's the type of hope. There are two kinds of hope. Wishing for something to happen and knowing something will happen at the right time. Biblical hope, when it comes to prophecy, is the second one. It's not, well, Isaiah said a Messiah was going to come, so I hope God keeps his word. Instead, man, Isaiah is talking about the Messiah is coming. So when the Messiah comes, our job is not to miss it when it happens. Because we know it's going to happen. Advent is the season where we get to look back and remember the story of hope, love, joy, and peace as we wait for Jesus to come. Remember that God sent his Son to save the world. That hope entered into the scene and brought with him a new story, a new way of life, a new way of thinking. He was born into the earth, laid in a manger, born of a virgin. This week, as we look at hope, we want you to have hope in a God that is faithful, a God that always, always, always keeps his promises. Aren't you glad we put our hope in a God like that? Today, there are millions of the Jewish faith that are still waiting for that. What they have not been able to see is that He was already here. Of course, on this side of things, we look at this verse and think, how can they not see that this is about Jesus? But we have to remember, for thousands of years, the people of Israel were taught that God was coming to save them. God did not come into the world like Jesus did. God comes back and rules the world. He doesn't enter it as a baby. He doesn't die, especially for those that He created. He is God. He can't die. Of course, the people of Israel aren't going to think that Jesus was the Messiah. They just didn't get it. How many of us, maybe in this room or maybe not, or around us, suffer with that same affliction? They can't understand that there was a Jesus who came to earth and died for us. So we're going to talk about three ideas of hope. The first one is that all of the Bible is a story of hope. Isaiah starts off chapter 9 here by addressing the people of Israel. He reminds them that the Messiah, there is a Messiah coming. Verse 9, chapter 1 says, Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. He is reminding the people of God that of what they've been promised. From the beginning, they have been promised a Savior that will take away the sins of the world. That when He comes, the people of God will be freed. And this promise is repeated over and over and over again in the Old Testament. There is prophecy about Jesus in Genesis, in Exodus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, in Ruth, in 2 Samuel, in Psalms. And that doesn't even include the prophets. Over and over and over again, we have promised that a Savior is coming, that a Messiah is coming, and that He will take away the sins of the world. That when He comes, the people of God will be freed. All of God's people were waiting for this great King. They were waiting for Him to come and rescue them, to take away all their burdens and their troubles, and to make things right with the world. Aren't you glad that hope came? Aren't you glad that He has already done that? I know we got bogged down a lot in this life. We do. The waves overtake us and we get overwhelmed. I am so happy, though, that I have a King that has me in His hands. I am so glad that unto us a child was given, that I get to call Him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I am so glad that I know the end of the story. I know what I get in the end. And I know what true hope is all about. Aren't you? That's usually a time where you get an amen. But that's okay. We're good. We don't do that. The second thing is that hope doesn't always look like you expect. The second idea we want to see is that hope doesn't always look like we think. Obviously, the people of Israel missed the Messiah. They missed Him. The one they had been waiting for. We can miss things too, and we have. But we have found the Messiah. We have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. I am sure it blew Mary's mind as well. I am sure that she, being a Jewish girl, was also waiting for the kingly Messiah to ride in on His white horse. She didn't expect this. Look at Luke, chapter 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. I think that's the understatement of the millennium. I mean, verse 29, isn't that hilarious? Mary was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to figure out what in the world the angel could be talking about, right? Hello? Hello? I'm a virgin. No way of having a kid, right? Who? What, when, where, why? What are you talking about? Like, I mean, just, can you imagine? He's like probably a 14-year-old girl being told, like, "Yeah, you're about to have a baby." Like, no, not possible. Can't do it. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's not the way it's going to happen. That's not the way that things worked. That's not, like whatever Mary thought was going to happen, That wasn't the case. All of a sudden, God entered into her life and things were like totally different. Sometimes we find hope in the most peculiar places, don't we? As we will see later, it may be found in some hay and a feeding trough, born to a young couple in Bethlehem. We don't know what form hope will take, but I guess what I wonder is, are we looking for hope? Are we looking for it? Life can get pretty mundane. We can get lost in the hustle, the bustle, and the routine. Are we looking for hope? We have access to hope every day. Through God's Word, we have hope. Through His Spirit, we have a direct line to hope. Are we looking for it? I hope so. And when we are hit in the face with hope in a way that we totally don't expect, when God is up to something that we never imagined, I hope our response is that of Mary. "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Can you say that today? The third thing that we want to look at is this idea that we are still waiting. We are still waiting for hope. While this is a time where we celebrate the first Advent, there's a second Advent to come. He's coming again, right? He's coming back. He's taking us home. Isn't that good news? We know the end. Revelation 21, you guys probably all know this scripture. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from their springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. I will be their God, and they will be my children. We wait. The season of Advent, I love it so much. And we celebrate it with 4 weeks, right? And we celebrate it because they waited for thousands and thousands and thousands of years for the Messiah to come. We are now in an Advent again. We wait for the second coming of Jesus, when he is coming back again. And it's taken thousands of years so far, right? And we don't know how much longer it's going to be. But we hope, cardinal hope, that he's coming back. And we will see him face to face. And he will wipe every tear from our eye. Because he is the King. Do you have that hope today? I hope so. I said hope a lot. I wish so. Have you found Jesus today? Not laying in a manger, but sitting on a throne as King. Because that's the most important thing. The most important thing isn't that he came to earth as a baby. The most important thing is that he sits on the throne of your heart. Do you know him today? I hope so. If not, we invite you to come get to know Jesus this morning.